Hello, hello. It's Celeste with Daniel on the Sales Edge podcast. I'm super excited for Daniel to introduce himself. We met at Saster and then saw each other a couple more times during that event, one at the Lavender after party. Really impressed with Daniel and Align, so would love him to take a moment to introduce himself.
Yeah, I'll take an introduction anytime, Celeste. So, hey everyone, my name's Daniel. I am the founding account executive at Aligned. Before that, I mean, I've been in software sales for the last like almost 4 years and been in sales in general for 7. And yeah, I really love talking all things sales stuff and can't wait to share a couple of the things that I've picked up or things that I have found not to be true.
Now tell the listeners here, Aligned, your quick synopsis of Aligned.
My synopsis. Basically, if you're a salesperson that has a complicated sales process, meaning either lots of, you know, collateral, lots of back and forth, mutual action plans, all that sort of stuff, and you find yourself, you know, sending tons of emails, all that sort of fun stuff, and you're looking to make it a better experience for your buyer, that's what Aligned is for. It's to help the buyer go internally, make it much simpler for them to share the resources, makes it better for you to coach them because you know who's looking at them, what they're looking at, all that fun stuff. So it's essentially a workplace for your champions and your reps to work together.
Yeah, it's a great place for collaboration. And just today, I saw on LinkedIn, on the Aligned page, an awesome video that you all shot about a buyer and a seller basically working together in a workspace. So if you want more information on that, go check out the Aligned page as it's a very interesting concept. And I know for any of us who are in sales, we actually dove into this with our team the other day. We were looking at an email thread and it was so many back and forths with a buyer, just like, oh my gosh, there has to be a better way. So Daniel, tell us, you've been in the sales scope for a while. You're founding AE at Aligned. What is your sales edge? What makes you unique?
Yeah, I don't know if it's super unique to the whole world, but I think what I've been told repeatedly, what I'm like the best at, is the relationship building part, which I have a pretty good knack at, you know, within 3 minutes can get someone's guard down and then we can get, you know, to the meat where, you know, where the relationship part doesn't matter as much because you're asking the tough questions and whatnot. What helps me get there so quickly is, yeah, I guess my edge would be like the ability to get people to trust me.
And where does that stem from? How did you, I guess, arrive at this place of having people let their guard down?
Natural talent. Natural
it's the talent. Aussie accent. That's what it is.
That definitely helps. I've been told that a bunch of times from coworkers watching Gong calls and they're like, there's no way I could get away with saying what you just said. So it's definitely having an accent has helped. But I mean, I'm the eldest of 6. I grew up, my old man runs like a ministry that has a bunch of staff on it, you know, so like I've been meeting with and building relationships with people literally like in my home for my entire life. From when I was 6 is when he started doing that. So I think just, yeah, that's what, like, that would be where it comes from, you know, meeting people. And I think I just learned from a young age that like everyone's favorite topic is themselves. Being interested is being better than interesting. And that just sort of comes pretty naturally to me. So I think that would be how I got
there. And that's interesting that you say that, as I think back to being a shy kid, I'm an introverted extrovert, but I look back and my parents entertained a lot, right? So you were always around people and the adults would ask kids questions. We were treated like adults, right? You'd come sit at the table, the manners, the picking up, all of that. And I think at an early age, you definitely learn how to converse with other people. And now I look at my husband has 2 kids and I think like, oh gosh, we really didn't give them that opportunity. Like, no wonder they're a little shy in front of people. So I can see that in the home, especially with having other siblings, right? It's this give and take relationships, listening to what somebody says before you're responding. You know, what a cool foundation that has helped you now in the sales career.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that. So there's a local family that they have six girls, three of them watch my kids, they're babysitting. And I remember talking to their mom and being like, every single one of your children like looks me in the eye, holds a conversation, like, this is really impressive and whatever, whatever, whatever. And I was telling my own mother this just on like a FaceTime, and she just started laughing. And she's like, I was like, what? She's like, you know, every single person used to say that about you kids to us. And I was like, no, I didn't know that, but I guess you're right. I mean, I did look people in the eye and, you know, ask them about themselves and whatnot when I was like 10, which now that I'm an adult talking to other 10-year-olds, I'm like, this is weird. Like, why are you looking at me and asking me how my day was? Like, 10-year-olds are supposed to say, you know, Paw Patrol and then run away. Probably not quite accurate for that show in that age. So I think, and that came from all sorts of things. Like, because my dad, you know, spoke on a stage in front of big groups of people, like, I think the first time I spoke to a group of 100 people, I was 12. Yeah, because like my folks would do a lot of like parenting courses. And so my old man's big thing is like, you know, the proof's in the pudding. He's like, I can't stand up here and tell everyone like this is how you should parent if I'm not willing to show them my kids and what they're like. And so I think that really helped. I think for me, like it's made it substantially easier. So, and a part of that is, again, you know, I've met tons of very, very successful people, people with big titles that have the exact same problems as me and everyone else. So I think that has really helped with my relationship building aspect is if I'm getting on a call with the CEO, like I know that they still get in fights with their kids and that they still have to remember to flush and wash their hands. Like they're still a person and it's not that big of a deal to chat with them. So I think that is probably what helps is that I just treat people like people.
Right. We strip away this status that individuals have. And it's tough when you get on calls with individuals who, because they have more time in the seat, a lot of sellers will tell me that, right? I'm apprehensive. I actually was talking to my mentor, Rachel, who I know you've talked with today. And she was like, why haven't you reached out to this person? I'm like, didn't you see? And she was like, come on. And so I had to flush it through. Like, wait a second. They have a problem I can solve. They don't know what I know. I don't know what they know. It's like it's we make it more of a big deal. And I think that comes from the internal dialogue that we tell ourselves over and over again. And you're right. Starting at a young age, how do we immerse our own kids into
and out of us? Yeah, it's definitely like I think anyone who is successful or a big wig, you know, say big wig for those listening, I'm doing air quotations when I do. I've found in my experience now that like they're usually the ones that listen the most. Like the ones that are I know everything don't usually make it that far. So I don't really, yeah, I mean I would definitely say like it's not something that you need to be afraid of. And at the end of the day, you know, if they do say, you know, like Celeste, you don't know what you're talking about, like you're wrong, just, you know, end the Zoom. Don't talk to
anyone. There's so many other fish in the sea, right? And we get so attached to an outcome or a perceived outcome that we maybe shoot ourselves in the foot before we start. I know I was talking with somebody else, Blaze, who I met at Saster as well. He's with User Gems. And the other day he told me he was talking with a CRO who I think had their arms crossed and they looked like they were totally detached from the conversation. So he said he stopped on the Zoom just to check in. Like, are you tracking? Are you with me? And the person was appreciative of him stopping and he said, no, I'm just trying to take it all in, right? Like my mind is spinning. And sometimes we take someone's title as they're not interested in what I have to say. And as you said, be interesting and be interested. And that should resolve itself. But here's to our young kids learning that skill as well now that we have it. And I know you mentioned the Paw Patrol. I will say we are deep, like real deep into Paw Patrol over here to the point where my daughter will only respond to Sky Puppy as her name. And we have to set some barriers, like at the dinner table, you're not Sky Puppy because puppies don't sit at the dinner table. So it's.
Just remember that no problem's too big, no pup's too small, Celeste.
That is perfect. I think we often say like a pup's got to do what a pup's got to do.
I have to say, some of the things, like, since my daughters have gone to school, some of the things that, like, they get taught is still so relevant to us today. Like, that's just reminded me. So both my kids have gone through the same, like, junior and senior kindergarten class with the same two teachers, and they have these, like, these sayings that they say, and they've now become like mantras in our house. And even when my kids are at school, I say it to myself. And one of them is "no big deal, banana peel." And it's so like what we've been talking about. If someone like says, like, you know, if someone hangs up on you angrily from a cold call, or if you have like a bad meeting, or if you don't close a deal or whatever, I just like, you know, I'm like, what would I say to my kid if this, if they had something unfortunate happen? And it's "no big deal, banana peel" is a big
one. I love that. We're in the "I need space." That's what she tells me. So I know that's coming from she's in pre-K from school. I'm like, I didn't teach her she needs space, but she's constantly telling me she needs space. Like, all right, all right. Okay. So love the sales edge. We go on and on about relationships. Oftentimes when you're in sales, you know, you've been in sales a while. It's not like this is your first rodeo. Obviously, you were recruited to be the first AE at Aligned. Oftentimes we're given some like sales advice that you got to take with a grain of salt, or we hear something and it becomes this like myth. Is it true? Is it not? Do we believe it? Tell me, what is a sales myth you want to bust, break, or share with us that the listeners might not know?
Oh, I don't know if the listeners might not know, but one thing that I want to really bust is like taking all advice at face value. Like, it could even be like, I've had examples of a sales leader at my own org, this is at a previous company, gave advice of like, you should have asked more here and you should have done more discovery diving into this. And I'm like, well, if you hit play instead of pausing, that's what I end up. So like taking, like, there's a phrase that I learned from, again, my folks.
My preschooler.
No, this is from my parents. And it was, well, there's sort of two phrases. My mom would always say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning like, you know, which is a really weird saying when you try to break it down, but basically like, throw out the dirty bathwater, but keep the clean child. Or more, what my dad would say is, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. So like when it comes to, you know, advice in the sales world, context and, you know, who's it coming from? Who do they sell to? Because that's a big one that I see a lot. I mean, especially on like the LinkedIn world, someone will be like, this is how I close 85% of my deals. And then everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it's like, okay, who are they selling to? Because if I'm selling to sales leaders and I have a 90% open rate in emails, that is like, that's good. That's like, you know, if you have less than a 70% open rate selling to salespeople, you have a massive problem, like on the technological side of landing in spam. Whereas if you're getting 40% open rate selling to like CISO and CTOs, like that makes a heck of a lot more sense because those people don't live in their email. They're not talking to external organizations. They are internal. They're using Slack. They're using Confluence. They're using, you know, all those other things. So if you're selling to, you know, X persona and someone's giving you advice based on their experience selling to Y persona, you should probably ignore it because they don't know who, like, sales is, you know, sales is helping someone make a purchase. I don't think that, yeah, all that fun advice on.
And there's no, there's no one way, right?
What I would love to dive in is I was having this conversation with the CRO of Ample Market, and I personally, like, I think, and the more I'm in sales, the more I believe this to be true, is that like not everyone can sell to everyone else. Like there are some people that, like, I met this one guy and he was the classic, like when my family pictures a salesperson, this is who they would think of, like slicked back hair, in your face, like aggressive, could tell any story, center of attention. And I know for me personally, and some of the people that I've worked for before, like as sales leaders, they would never buy from this person. However, he is wildly successful. And I know that there are other people where I go for more the relational, slightly more laid back, you know, trying to talk to them, whatever. and they need someone to take the reins and like drive them to where they need to go. And, you know, there are people that he could sell to that I would probably never be able to sell to unless I change completely how I sold, and vice versa. So that would be, I guess, a sales myth. That can be the one that we land on.
And it's knowing that, right? And especially as a team grows, as a sales leader, I think it's nice to have individuals who fit a puzzle piece. Like very early on when I was in sales, I'll use quotation marks. It was a lot of inbound. So it was like reactive sales. I started hiring people I liked because I was a brand new manager. I had no clue. No one ever taught me, hey, this is how you hire people. And then I slowly realized, whoa, you need to hire people who excel in a skill set where I do not, right? Like, how do we fit this puzzle piece together so that if you have a difficult customer or you're in a buying situation, right, you can all kind of weigh in, or you can cherry pick and match up somebody on your team who best fits that style. Obviously, as a one person show, you can't, but I think your culture is pretty like laid back, but not all cultures are like that. So yeah, assessing your team, you can't have all of the like the Wolf of Wall Street, or if any of you are watching those real estate shows, right, it's like everybody's that hustle grinder, and not everybody jives with that. That's kind of a turnoff to some buyers.
Yeah, I call it like the greasy used car salesman style. Like that is, again, but then it depends. If you are a salesperson who's selling used cars, you need to be probably a little bit more forward, because reality is if someone's on your lot, it's probably because they need a freaking car. So you need to be able to like, you know, move the needle. Whereas if you're in like a consultative selling situation, you probably don't need to, you know, jump down people's throats.
No, not at all. Yeah. And thank you so much for sharing that. I definitely take everything with a grain of salt. I had a conversation earlier today about like, holy crap, LinkedIn is just like full of gurus, right? Like everybody slinging the sales advice, me, myself included. Some people go real deep, right? And you do have to pick and choose. Like it's all theory and it's nice and tidbits that you can take from other people, but we internalize it of like, I have to be like this person. No, you have to find a style that aligns with your buyers. And sometimes you have to go back. And as we were talking about before we hit record, like looking back in your CRM, looking at the deals that you've won, looking at the deals that you've lost, like who were you selling into? Like, what was the difference between this role and this role? Like, did you change your style? Did you change how you showed up? Did somebody else on your team take the reins? Like, it is so nuanced to you. Yet everybody's like, how do I get the quick fix? Like, if I just implement this one thing, then everything's going to change. Instead of saying like, this is a journey that I'm on. And the way that I sell, I mean, I'm 44 now, the way that I was that when I was 27 and got that first sales role, like I'm wildly different. And I'm sure as you look back on your sales flubs and your wins and your opportunities, you can say the same thing about yourself.
I'm wildly different from when I was a month ago, Celeste, let alone a few years ago. I will say the one consistent has been like the relationship thing that we talked about earlier. But yeah, it's definitely... I would definitely say like, don't, you know, every time you read something new, some new piece of advice, go, yes, like this is it. Because generally speaking, it might not be it.
Right. Not every opportunity to get a franchise is going to be the one. I don't know if you get hit up with those, but it's a daily occurrence in my inbox. Yeah. So many franchises, so few people.
Yeah. I would just like, as far as I think people, you know, like if we go back to LinkedIn people, like I have friends who are menaces on the phones, and they can, you know, book so many meetings so often, and they're like, yeah, it's so easy. This is my opener that I use. And like, I just do this and I just do that. And then people go, okay, I'll use that opener too. And then they'll go and try and do it, but they haven't put in the 10,000 hours of reps to get to that nuanced place of like, oh, I need to use this objection handling situation here, or that's not actually a real objection. This is, or you know what, this person isn't actually interested. Let's just like hang up and go next. Like, and so, you know, reading a post or listening to one podcast and being like, I'm going to change my whole sales strategy around this, just probably isn't a good idea.
No. And as the pups say, a pup's got to do what a pup's got to do. So That is the advice to you all out there, right? You do, as we say in this household, I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, why do you why, bro? Why do you why? You do you. Yeah. Because he's an endurance athlete, so he's constantly talking about his workout schedule and like all the projects around the house. I'm like, you do you, huh? Whatever, like whatever you gotta do. And it's so applicable to sales, right? It's just honing, it's putting in those dirty reps like we would it at the gym, on the snowboard. You're not gonna strap on those boots or whatever you call them and go down the hill the first time and crush it. No, you're gonna fall a whole bunch of times, and year after year, you're gonna get better and you're gonna get better and you're gonna get better. So appreciate all of your insights and wisdom, Daniel. Check out Aligned. Definitely a cool team. The marketing is pretty legit too. And I think that your team is putting out some amazing content that's like real, right? So
we do our best. We try to look at, you know, what do people want to hear rather than just look at our tool.
And so. Entertaining. Yes. So
yes.
Edutainment. Yes. So check out Daniel, connect with him, because again, he's a well-connected guy. So if you connect with him, he's probably going to pay it forward and connect to you elsewhere. So appreciate your time, Daniel. Yeah. I will go ahead and end this. Thank you, listeners.